I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's bring in Paul Immig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Immig, green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, good day to you, sir. How you doing?
Good. So green and gold, is the green for the stand for the color of the Milwaukee River?
It very well could, yes. You are correct. Okay. Yes, because right now there's a lot of anticipation for this series coming up this weekend, without a doubt.
And I just saw a tweet that someone's compiling votes of all the MVP voters, and it looks like Giannis might run away with it, Bill. Did you see this tweet that just came out?
I did not see that. When did that cross?
I just retweeted it, so I forget where it originated, but somebody is compiling all of the registered voters who vote for MVP award, and there's like 20 compiled. So far, so if you click on my Twitter feed, you'll see it, like the retweet. But it's like 20 writers who have been compiled, and it's like 18 votes for Giannis, 2 for Harden. Again, this isn't like an official thing, but it's writers who are going on the record. So I don't know if you have it up in front of you now. You probably do a better job recapping it than I could. But yeah, so there you go.
That's exciting. I certainly hope it turns out that way. Let's see here. I'm pulling it up as you were speaking. It looks like Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to run away with the MVP. This is according to NBA Central. It takes all of the votes. Kevin Pelton from ESPN is voting for James Harden. Jalen Rose of ESPN voting for James Harden. But everybody else, it appears, is voting in the direction of Giannis, at least as of right now. So, you know what? And I go back to this. As many people make a valid argument that indeed there is, the numbers that James Harden put up this year, they're impressive. There's no doubt about that. My biggest argument is, what was the expectation at the beginning of the season? You know, I mean, the Bucks weren't supposed to be this good and be doing this.
No.
You know, not at all. So, if they're recognizing Giannis and his contributions because of that, then so be it. And I think it's right. Meanwhile, in Green Bay, we've got a little bit more that comes out, as Mark Murphy has now denied ever saying, hey, Aaron, don't be the problem. But my question is this, whether you believe it or not, okay, Mark Murphy's not going to come out and go, yep, I told him that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So for people that don't want to believe the article, this is validation. For people that do want to believe it, it's just like, okay, what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if you don't comment, it's almost like a guilty plea,
right?
Admission via silence is guilty. But if you come out against it, well, what else are you going to say? I heard that Tyler Dunn had come back on Milwaukee airwaves yesterday morning on the morning show on 105.7 FM The Fan, and kind of said the same thing with some of Rogers' denials and McCarthy's denials about the massage. What else are they going to say? You're either going to say nothing, and that's going to look bad, or you're going to deny it, and it is what it is. So, there's nothing I can say that would tell you, like, any of this is a surprise. You know, of course, Rogers is going to say what he's going to say, and, how much was true, how much wasn't true, we'll never really know. Same thing with some of the McCarthy stuff. And Bill, but the way I look at it, as the season gets, slowly closer, is how does it really affect them on the field? And I heard a conversation on the radio the other day talking about whether, this will impact Rodgers and his behavior towards teammates, whether it will impact them positively or negatively on the field. I feel very strongly on this, Bill, and I'd love to hear your take, that for me, this will absolutely impact what they do on the field in the sense that, I look at this and I say, this is a galvanizing opportunity. Whether it actually amounts to that because there's enough talent on the field, TBD. But there is now everyone and their mother has read this story. Like, it's that big. So it's going to be a topic of conversation when the Packers are on national broadcast. It's going to be something where cameras are going to be on Rodgers. whether he's interacting with his young wide receivers, whether he's interacting with his coach. The spotlight, which was already very bright, is exponentially brighter. So how it could possibly have a non-impact on the team wouldn't make sense to me. I think it's going to end up being positive, not negative, but I'm wondering if you see it similarly, or you know, if you think that this is going to all be long forgotten by September.
No, I completely agree, because whatever you do, there is always going to be the thought process of, what does this have to do? Does this validate or non-validate the article? Everything you do.
Of course.
You know, that's like, what it is. You're going to be looking as to whether or not you actually validate the article by what it is you do. Do you look, are you screaming at some of your young guys, you know? Are you looking at this saying, okay, I'm not working with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. There's a wide open receiver and I'm not throwing to him because he's in my doghouse. And I mean, all that stuff. They're still going to play the game. But all that stuff eventually is going to come to pass as people begin to, you know, kind of say, okay, is this or is this not true, just strictly by the actions on the field?
Yeah, and because, I mean, what was the prevailing thing that people were doing when the Jay Cutler-led Bears were on national television? It was watching if Jay was going to be pouty, to watch Jay if he was going to, you know, death stare one of his offensive linemen. It was going to be, you know, it was just going to kind of watch the Jay Cutler memes, mm-hmm. you know, kind of take off, because that was the way he presents. Now, that's not throughout the large portion, vast majority of Rodgers' career, anywhere remotely the way that he reacts, but there were a couple instances in the past 2 years where it was. And then you say, okay, they bring in a new coach. And, you know, because cameras are never going to see what happens behind closed doors in the locker room and in the meeting rooms, because the Packers aren't going to be at Hard Knocks, certainly not this year. Probably, I'm sure Mark Murphy will fight to the death to make sure it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're never going to see behind the meeting rooms where you see them getting along and you see them doing these things. So if all of a sudden it's a couple failed offensive drives, well, guess what? The only time that the public can see the way that you, the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, is interacting with his coach or interacting with his receivers, it's for those 3 hours on a Sunday or a Thursday night or a Monday night. And that's where they're going to have to, you know, that's where all the focus is going to be. So there's 168 hours in a week. Three of those hours are going to be on camera. And, you know, that's where they're going to have to, where the public is going to make its judgments on, oh, is Rodgers, is he not congratulating his wide receivers enough? Is he, you know, telling them off on the sideline? How's he interacting with his head coach who's only 39 years old? Is he giving him enough respect? And,
right.
You know, for better and for worse, better possibly because of the galvanizing opportunity, for worse because the spotlight just got that much brighter, you know, this becomes, you know, in the Aaron Rodgers biography that will be written when he retires, or autobiography if he decides to write it himself, this is a benchmark. You know, this is a moment in time that can either go one of two ways. It has entered, you know, enough, I think, of that lexicon of the you know, American culture for football fans that, like, it's going to go one of two ways from here, and I don't think there's any way to ignore that fact.
I want to ask you if you think that, because we put this out there the other day, do you think Aaron Rodgers, whether it's this year or next year, is there an MVP season in this man?
I think so, in the sense that, or in the vein that I think if the run pass situation is better in balance, then I think yes. Now, you know, as Tom Brady and Drew Brees got into their upper 30s, and now, of course, for those two guys in their early 40s, that has to be taken into account. If Rodgers is going to try to continue to be the improvising, you know, 7 seconds drop back, scramble, 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 pat the ball, pat the ball, pat the ball, look for the deep guy, when he's 35, 36, 37, 38 years old, I mean, I don't care. I mean, and he takes, as we all know, like, tremendous care of his body and does all of these hot yoga and everything else to keep him not only strong, but limber and flexible, and just the ability to do the kind of things that people in their late 30s, early 40s shouldn't be able to do. But nonetheless, he's still not 24. He's still not 28. And I think there's going to have to be a way to adapt the way he plays the game. And I'm sure, I mean, I would be shocked if part of the Matt LaFleur interview process with Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst wasn't, how do we get Aaron Rodgers back on track? And I think that's with a much stronger, more concrete run-pass balance. And yes, included in that is not changing the run call to a pass in the line of scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. And then also the aspect of, you know, 2.5-second drop back and throws as opposed to scramble, 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 who's getting open, who's getting open. Because, you know, just some of the stuff that Rodgers talked about, and, you know, the Randall Cobb is gone. Jordy Nelson, unless, you know, he said he'd probably come, it'd be hard to say no to Rodgers if they told him to come back. But, like, all of the guys that he spent 8, 9, 10 years developing this kind of chemistry with, he has that now with Devontae Adams, and I think was starting to have an early development of that with Geronimo Allison before Allison's injury, you know, early last season. But those, like, unspoken bonds are not there yet with the rest of the receiving group, not with including the tight ends with, like, a Jimmy Graham, and it's not there yet with Valdez Scantling and St. Brown and Moore. And so, you know, trust the play, drop back, throw the ball, and I'm sure that that is, you know, emphasis number one on Matt LaFleur's offense in the first quarter of the upcoming season is, like, how can we get Rodgers to be more efficient? How can we get him to throw, get rid of the ball quicker and not ask a guy in, you know, his mid-30s to be the guy that he was in his late 20s? And I think if all of that happens, I mean, unless he just lost it, Bill, which I don't believe and I can't imagine that, you know, he woke up 2 years ago and just had lost it, I assume that that player is still in there. And then, and therefore, you know, an MVP season is still certainly possible in the next few years.
Paul, always good. I know you're an NBA-ophile, so enjoy the weekend because it's going to be a big one as the Bucks get underway, and then we're going to talk a lot of Packers football all throughout the camp and then getting into training camp. And now, obviously, the draft is right around the corner, too.
And I'll be seeing you for that. And I would say Bucks in six, but this first-round series better not go six.
No, I'm Bucks sweep in four, get it over with, and it's done.
Bucks in four. Yeah.
There you go.
And then Boston. We can talk about Bucks in six.
You the man. Talk to you soon, buddy.
See you, Bill.
There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.